Exodus chapter 23, verse number 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee into the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, the Hivites, the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. Thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images. And you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take away, sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young nor be barren in the land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. Let's pray. Father, as we look into your word, help me to help your people tonight. Feed us through the word, we pray. And we ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. Patty, you have a guest that came tonight. Why don't you introduce her? Hi, Kathy. Nice to have you here. Welcome. You folks make her feel comfortable and y'all know what to tell her, what a good church this is. Enjoy the journey. Exodus chapter 23. This passage deals with the separation from an ungodly lifestyle. The nations of Canaan, there were 10 tribes of people that lived in the Canaan land, which was a land that God had given to Abraham. It didn't belong to the Canaanites, it belonged to Abraham. But for 430 years, Israel was down in Egypt, and so the land became populated during that time. And these were a wicked and a sinful people, and God was going to take the land from them and give it to the land of Israel. And he gave them certain boundaries that they had to go by, certain separational issues they had to live by. They were to break down the idols and all those things. So, got a kind of an outline I'll give you first of all. First of all, in chapter 23, in verse 20, God leads us to where he wants us to go. God led Israel to the place, to the land of Canaan, and God leads us where he wants us to be. If we'll follow him and obey him, he will lead us. He will guide us. He'll direct our life. He will show us what he has for us. And if we obey him, then he will bless us, and he will protect us, and he will provide for us. And so that is conditional. As we obey him and serve him, he will bless us and protect us and make a way for us. If we walk with God and follow his will, obey his word, then we can expect that he will bless us. Secondly, in verse 24, there must be a difference between God's people and the unbelievers of the land. We're not to be influenced by them in our worship. We are to serve the Lord and not idols and not the false teachings that abound in religion all around us. God's blessings and provision and protection will come if we obey that and if we walk with him. Thirdly, God will defend his obedient children from their enemies in verse 27 through 31. Israel is a very tiny nation. If you look on a globe, you can hardly find it. If you look on a map of the land, I mean, it stands out, but if you look on a world map, it's hard to find Israel. It's a very small nation. Even the entirety of the land that God promised to Abraham is a small part compared to all of the other nations of the world, and the population of the people is a small nation as well. But somehow God protected them from all the giant nations. God protected them from their enemies. God protected them, and he still has a plan for that land, and so he has a plan for its future, and so God has preserved it for Israel, even though they just possess a tiny part of it today. Verse 32 and 33, fourthly, God wants his people to separate from the sinful people who live nearby. Total separation will be required for God to... God knows the weaknesses we have. He knows the tendencies of men to want to be like others around them, to want to look like the world. We see that with our youth growing up today getting tattooed everywhere. They want to look like the celebrities. They want to look like the superstars, the sports figures. They want to be like the people they're around, the people that they focus on and look up to. And, of course, the difficulties of staying near the other nations of people with sexual sins was a clear problem. So we go back to verse number 20 and start out tonight, and that God leads us where He wants us to be. If we follow Him and obey His Word, then God can lead us daily and lead us in our life. He can lead us to the right person to marry. He can lead us to the right job. He can lead us to the right church. He can lead us to live in the right neighborhood. God is concerned about your life in every aspect. And so when you do things, you seek the Lord, you pray, you do them for His honor and for His glory, and He can lead and guide in all your decisions. He can protect and defend you. There are a lot of enemies, a lot of adversaries out there, a lot of pitfalls, a lot of traps that people fall into. We see a lot of homes break up. A lot of people have struggles and problems in life because they fall into the traps that Satan has ensnared them with. And so it's important that we follow the right person. We follow the right path so that we don't fall into those traps and pitfalls. God provides and supplies our needs. We've been sort of in abundance in America up until now, and the economy's been, you know, awful good for many, many years. Those of you that are over 60 years of age probably remember when things weren't nearly so good. People didn't have the material things that they have today. They didn't have the abundance. A lot of poor people in that day and time. And especially here in the South, around the cotton mills and all that sort of thing, there was in farming. There was people were poorer than they are today. But for the last 50 or 60 years, we've been growing in our economy and in the level of life that people enjoy. And so now that we've had some hiccup in our economy and not everybody's employed and some people are having a difficulty in the struggle with inflation and all of that sort of thing, we see a greater importance that God is protecting and providing for us. It's easy for us to forget to pray for our daily bread if we got plenty of food in the house. But if you lose that, if you don't have anything to eat, then you start seeing the importance of praying for God to supply your daily needs. If you don't have a car, you see the importance of praying that the Lord would supply transportation for you. And so Israel needed to understand that it was God that was going to protect and provide for them and defend them. And they needed to walk with God and obey Him, and we need to still do the same. He has promised to supply our needs, and of course I remind you always that doesn't mean that He's promised to supply all of our wants. We can want everything we see. We can want a lot of things. We want what other people have. And that was part of the danger for Israel in that day. They wanted to be like the other nations. They wanted a king to ride out before them on a great white horse and lead them in battle, and that wasn't God's plan for them, but they wanted to be like the other nations. God led Israel to Canaan. This was to be the place of their inheritance upon the earth. Primarily, the church deals with our inheritance in heaven with the Lord, and Israel dealt with their inheritance on the earth in the land. The kingdom will still come, and we both get to enjoy that. All who are saved will get to enjoy the kingdom. But our primary inheritance is heavenly and theirs is earthly. It's a symbol of the successful, mature Christian life to be where God wants you to be. The land of Canaan was a place where God wanted Israel to be. A place of obedience, a place close to Him, a place where they served Him, a place where they enjoyed His blessings and the benefits of walking with God. And for us today, the places God wants us to be is a mature Christian who understands how to walk with God and enjoy the blessings that God wants to bestow upon us also. We need to be where God wants us to be, a place of abiding with God and enjoying the blessings. Somebody said, I want to be under the spout where the blessings pour out. And that's the attitude that we should have, to be in the place that we should be, so that we can enjoy the blessings of God. God wants us as believers to become mature and spiritual, to be the kind of people that He can use for His own honor and glory, grounded in the knowledge of the Word of God, able to use the Scriptures to help others, separate from the sins of the world in which we live, not being a carnal person, not having to be chastened to draw us back continually from the world and but walking the straight and narrow path with the Lord and enjoying our walk with God. Now, God warned Israel that He was going to send His angel before them as His messenger. Angel is a messenger of God. And people can fill that role as messengers of God. It's a person shares the gospel with an unsaved person. They're a messenger. And in a sense, they are an angel of God if they show you how to be saved. They don't become a literal angel. They are spirit beings that God has created. And in this passage of Scripture, when we deal with this term angel here, we know often the Lord is referring to the pre-incarnate Christ as the angel of the Lord, and those are called Christophanies, where He made a visible appearance prior to being born as a babe in the manger. God led Israel in a visible way. The pillar of fire in the nighttime, and the cloud of shade in the daytime, and He led them with this. They saw the cloud move, and they would move. And it shaded them, and it guided them in their journey. At night, there was a pillar of fire that did the same. It not only revealed a way, but it was a blessing to them as well. And Israel was to follow where God was going. When God moved, they were to move. When God stood still, they were to stand still. We just get that through our brains today, to follow as God moves and not get ahead of the Lord. But quite often we want things and we want them right now. We don't want to wait for prayer to be answered. We want to make it happen, kind of like Abraham and Sarah with Hagar. We figure up plans all the time how we could work out God's plan for him instead of just waiting on the Lord for Him to reveal. We're to seek where God is and join ourselves to that place. Today God is working in the church. And we should be a part of the church, and we should be involved in the church. This is where God works today, and this is where He would have us to be. God warns them about disobedience and the consequences of their disobedience. He's given us both His Word and His Spirit to guide us so that we are not left just wondering what we are to do. He can show us where He wants us to be. He reveals what we are to be separated from. And God's messenger today, as a leader, will reveal God's will to us through the Word of God. So the church is this place where God is working today, and He teaches us and equips us and guides us in service and in separation. Verse 23 in our text, for referring to the angel and these 10 tribes, reminds us that there are many enemies in the world around us. They may be enemies in various ways. The Bible says that our enemies are the powers and principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, governments and leaders of governments who become enemies of the things of God and of the people of God. These 10 tribes lived in the land that God had given to Abraham. And if you'll turn over in the book of Leviticus, chapter 18, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, chapter 18. You'll see the reason that God was driving these nations out from before the nation of Israel. Their morality was unclean in God's eyes, and God warned His people to separate from that and not become a part of it, not be influenced by it. In Leviticus 18, in verse number 6 through 18, He deals with the sexual sins of incest. In verse 20, He deals with adultery. In verse 22, He deals with homosexuality, male and female, that you shall not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. Neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself. So for these reasons, God was driving them out. Look at verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these things the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. So these nations were guilty of all kinds of sexual sins and impurities. And because of that, there were disease and sickness that was upon them, so much so that God said the land would spew them out, and all those who commit these abominations. And he promised the nation of Israel that if they would obey him, he would allow none of these diseases to be upon them. God's driving them out. Chapter 19, verse number 2, he said, "Speak unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, and say unto them, Ye shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy." So God's people are to be separated from sin. And how do we become holy? But by confessing our sin to God and being cleansed through the blood of Jesus Christ. Thank God he's provided that for us. We could never achieve that. We could never accomplish that. It's by the grace of God that he's provided that we can be saved and forgiven of our sins and continuously cleansed of our sins by confessing our sin to God and seeking his forgiveness. Next, notice there's a difference between God's people and the unbelieving world. If you put your bookmark over there in the book of Ephesians, we'll go there now in chapter number 4. Must be a difference between God's people and the unbelieving people. We're to become Christ-like and not like the unbelievers around us. We must not become influenced by false religion or by sinful morality choices. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good, the use of edifying, that is, may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Then chapter 5 he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children." So the Lord would have us in the New Testament church to understand that we're not to live as we did before we got saved. And we're not to live like the unsaved world around us. That we're to separate ourselves from stealing and lying and sexual sins and all these things. And that was the problem in that day. If Israel dwelt in the land, God knew the weakness of his people and how they would be influenced by those nations if they did not separate themselves from them. And we must not be influenced by the world in which we live, because, let's face it, we are all influenced by the people we spend time with. If we spend a lot of time watching television, we'll be influenced by what's on the television. If we spend a lot of time listening to music, we'll be influenced by the kind of music that we listen to. If we spend a lot of time watching celebrities and sports, we'll be influenced by the lifestyle of those people. And if we spend time with unbelieving people in fellowship, in our neighborhood or on our job or wherever it may be, we can be influenced by their attitudes and by their philosophies. Now, we do not separate ourselves as isolationists. God didn't tell us go live in a cave and be alone and not be a witness to anybody. We live in this world, and it's important that we are a witness to the world in which we live. But we must be very careful that we're not influenced by the world in which we live. These were idol-worshiping people. God warned Israel about the idols. We saw the danger of idolatry in Egypt, and And even on the wilderness journey, how they told Aaron to make them a god, to lead them, and to go back to the land that they had left. And there's that danger that men can very quickly lose confidence and turn back to the old way. It's important that we burn some bridges so we don't go back to the life of sin that we left behind. God knew the practices of the pagans where they were living. He knew the weaknesses of His people, and He still knows the weakness of His people. And we're all influenced by the people we spend time with. He makes an appeal because what our eye sees, our heart desires, and then we can violate by surrendering our will to do what we know is wrong to do. You see, girls like bad boys. I know, I was one. I got married as a young fella, but I had several girlfriends because they liked bad boys, and I was a bad boy. And boys like girls with loose morals. And there's a difference between a girl they want to date and a girl they want to marry. And men and women in too close contact where they work or that they spend time together, they must guard themselves because the natural attraction is there. We're human beings. We have natural desires, and we have to keep those desires in check. We have to guard ourselves or fall prey to doing things that God does not want us to do. Solomon was one of the greatest of kings, and he sinned in marrying many women from many different ethnic nations as a king. And there were many false teachings that these women brought into his home. He even built places for them to worship their gods that they worshiped. And he sinned before God in doing this. As the world gets more bold and more wicked and moves farther and farther away from the standard of righteousness that God has set up, instead of the church remaining consistent and calling to the world to come to the Lord and be saved, sadly we see that every generation that passes by, the church moves over a little farther as the world moves over a little farther. The world gets a little more wicked, and so the church becomes a little more carnal and a little more worldly and moves over toward the world just a little bit more and a little bit more. This was the danger for Israel dwelling in the land with all these 10 tribes of people, that they would be influenced by them, they'd worship their false gods, they would intermarry with them, and they would commit all types of sins. It's important today we recognize that we need to serve God. Back in Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 25, says, "Ye shall serve the Lord your God, and He shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of thee." Isn't that a wonderful promise that we ought to long for today? I mean, we hear about sickness everywhere. Ira mentioned to me that the lady we asked prayer for, Crystal Troxtel, that worked at the post office in Fort Mill at one time, that it's actually pancreatic cancer that she has instead of a stomach tumor. And, you know, pancreatic cancer can be extremely serious. It depends on how quick they catch it, you know. Dennis' family has had some dealings with this. If you can catch it extremely quick, very early, when it's just getting started, you may be able to remove a little piece of the pancreas and take all the cancer. But once it spreads through the liver or the pancreas, I mean, life is not long for most folks in that situation. And so we want God's protection from diseases. We want God's protection from sickness and illness and His blessings in our provision for ourselves and our family. In verse number 25, it's important that we serve the Lord, that we enjoy our walk with God, that we enjoy the blessings that the Lord has given, that we enjoy the morality that God requires of us. There can be pleasure in sin, but it is for a season. It is for a short period of time. And then the day of judgment comes, and then the time of reaping comes. We use the old expression about sowing wild oats, and then the harvest comes. And oh, the woeing, oh, the weeping, and oh, the worrying over that sort of thing. Where it'd be so much better, as the saying is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So much better if we prevent getting in that situation than trying to deal with it afterwards. Thirdly, in chapter 23 and verse 26 through 31, God will protect and defend His people, an obedient children who walk with Him and serve Him. In verse 26, the Scripture says, "There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come, and I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, the Hittite from before thee. And I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate, and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. But little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand. Thou shalt drive them out before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee." We see the parallel today in our walk with the Lord, that if we allow ourselves to become like the world around us, it becomes a snare unto us. We lose the blessings of God. You know, there's a lot of things you don't lose. If you're truly saved, you don't lose your relationship with God. You don't lose the salvation that God has saved you from your sins. But there's a lot of things you can lose. You can lose the joy of your salvation. You can lose the protection of God. You can lose the provision that God has for you. And you can find yourself struggling trying to make it in life without God's help. And what a terrible situation that is. We need the blessings of God. We need the protection of God. We need the provision of God. And this is what He asks of us: to separate from a sinful world in which we live, obey Him, walk with Him, and enjoy the journey that we have with God. Let's stand together, please. Father, we love You and thank You for the faithfulness of Your people in being here tonight. Pray Your blessings upon them. Lord, none of us are perfect. We all make mistakes. We all commit sin. We all fail in so many ways. We struggle to be good parents. We struggle to be the right husband or wife and right mom or dad. We need Your help to do these things. You've given us Your Word to guide us and give us an image of Christ as an example for us, but we know we all fall short. And so, Lord, thank You that we can confess our sins and get forgiveness. Thank You that we can look to Your Word for guidance and direction. Thank You that You've given us Your Spirit to enlighten us and to comfort us when we're doing what is right, so that we know we're in the way. You've told us to walk the straight and narrow path that leads to life everlasting and to avoid the broad way that leads to destruction. Help us to rescue all those we possibly can who are on the wrong path, Father. By Your grace, You've rescued us. Help us to in turn rescue others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.